Exhaustion clutched at Ketha, sought with ragged futility to drag her down into a few hours of oblivion. To sleep, to rest, to put an end to her turmoil and pain, yet all she could do was sit there on the rocky scree beside Asho, watching him breathe deeply, studying his gaunt face. He was lying on his side, arm curled under his head, knees raised to his chest. Even in sleep he looked wounded, as if some crucial part of his soul had been deeply and irrevocably torn. And she was helpless to comfort him. All it would take would be to lie behind him, hold him close, fit her knees behind his own, interlock with him, share warmth, her presence, her concern. Yet she couldn't. She felt as if she were trapped in stone. A gulf had opened between them, one that she thought she'd managed to hide from him while they'd conversed in low tones, but which now, with his having fallen asleep, yawned wide and kept her from going to his side. He'd spoken fervently for an hour about what he'd been trying to accomplish in Bithos, the rallies, the struggles, his identification with the Bithians, and his final pulling away from that inclusion. How he was only more convinced that the Empire had to fall. He'd complained bitterly about Iskra's decision to work with the Ascendant, taking for granted that Ketha was still the girl he'd fought beside on the ramparts of Mythgrafen, taking for granted that she'd not changed. Ketha closed her eyes, and from deep within her core arose the white song, a single quavering note of such beauty that she felt tears brim in her eyes. Somewhere beyond this vast and dismal cavern floated Alethea, and at its peak was the White Gate, glorious, transcendent, mystical, and refuting every belief that Asho clung to. How could she hold him tight when she no longer doubted ascendancy? She felt hollowed out, gutted. Who was she? Ketha or Makaria? Sitting up straight, she looked over the low wall of rocks behind which they were resting and at the remnants of the Imperial Army, a few hundred annoying soldiers and guards, a handful of consecrated, amongst them Kusan and Dalitha, all of them knowing to their bones who she was, all of them waiting for her to lead them against Tharak, to be the hammer against the Abithian forces' anvil. She reached down and curled an errant lock of white hair behind Asho's ear. Her heart ached for him. He'd suffered down here, suffered terribly, and the lines of pain etched into his face spoke volumes about his ordeals. Before falling asleep, he'd said something about his father, but the subject had been too painful for him to pursue. He'd fallen asleep with tears running down his cheeks, and she'd hated herself for not being able to comfort him. Hated herself still. With a sigh, she rose to her feet. She stretched, feeling the aches and deep bruising from yesterday's ferocious fighting, and then picked up her scabbarded blade. It was a hand-and-a-half blade, short and wickedly sharp, but while her other sword had been masterfully forged by Elon, this weapon was in a different category altogether. It was a work of art, its hilt gilded, its edge straight and unmarked despite having been used brutally in battle. Unlike her sword, her green enameled armor was battered and dented, covered in dust and dried blood, and her cloak was tattered. She felt just as worn, just as poorly used. Ketha closed her eyes.
Gather yourself. You need to be Makaria now, if only for a little longer.